Hi people, it's Chili here from Live Listener Race, and I hope that you had a great festive season and gained a few kilos like I might have. However, New Year's is just around the corner, so I hope you have something planned. To get you psyched up though, I want to give you a nice playlist of music that I thought was the best tracks from 2023. So I am giving you my favorite 20 songs of the year. Let's jump straight into this. So a quick heads up, this is in no particular order, but to kick off the list, we're going to have Metallica's Lux Aeterna. It was the first single that was going to be released for 72 seasons ahead of what would become a big moment for the band. Metallica were releasing new music. It had been quite a few years since their last record, and at last, here it comes. The first lead single from the record, a very, very short track. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like under 3.5 minutes long. It's powerful, it's short, it's to the point, it's exactly what it needs to be, and it was a fantastic single. There's nothing wrong with this. The video clip was pretty cool as well, not a bad video clip there, and at the end of the day, it really got me hyped up. Despite the fact that in the end, Metallica's 72 seasons, at least to me, would end up on a different list, and hint that wasn't the top 10 best albums of the year, it was still a very solid single. So yeah, it might be interesting to put this as one of my favorite tracks, despite the fact it was one of my least favorite albums of the year. Powerful stuff from Metallica, and I hope that they continue down that path as opposed to the rest of what's on the record. Next up is going to be Sleep Token's track, The Summoning. And I thought that this was an amazing single when it dropped. In fact, I was really hyped to hear what the band had to offer us. And The Summoning is just a fantastic effort by the band. There's this slab of perfection that is at the first half of the track before it breaks down for its weird eclectic second half, and I just love the transition. I thought it was flawless the way that they pulled it off, and I was getting into this record. I was thinking, yes, this is what I really wanted to hear out of Sleep Token. You know, I wasn't extremely familiar with any of their other material, but from what I had heard, which is only good things about the band, then The Summoning was a perfect way to kickstart that. And then there was a lot of hype regarding the album when it finally dropped, and I did take a while to get around to listening to it, and unfortunately this record was, again, another album that would appear on my top 10 worst records of the year, just because it was way too hyped up by lots of people who just always sung its praises, and I never saw it that way. That is, except for The Summoning. It is still, to this day, one of the best songs to come out of this year. So yes, it seems at odds that I picked this song for one of the best tracks of the year, but the album as one of the worst. But hey, that's me. Just because I think one of the tracks is great doesn't mean that I think the whole album is, you know, beyond redemption because of such. So yeah, I would definitely throw this into my top 20 songs of the year because it's such an amazing song. This track is one of the biggest surprises to come from me. I mean, it was suggested out of the blue by, of course, 1137, make sure to check them out. And, you know, I didn't know what to expect. Lil Yachty, I did know of the name, but when he told me, hey, you gotta check this out, I think you might enjoy it, I just thought, no way I'm gonna listen to this and find it, you know, interesting. But I digress, here it is. It's on my list, top 20 songs of the year. The Black Seminole is this phenomenal track. It just blends this mysticism of like Pink Floyd with Lil Yachty and his characteristics, and it's such a great blending of songs and styles on offer here. It's a bit unfortunate because, you know, the first half of that album, Let's Start Here, is really good, and for a little while I kind of thought that, you know, this might be the future of what music can be. There is this weird blend of psychedelic stuff going on with these, you know, keyboards in that song, and there's this progressive element, and I was in love with the Black Seminole when it first, you know, this song, I think it was the first track on the album, correct me if I'm wrong, but I was in love with this track. I just adored it. But, you know, you go into the rest of the album and it starts to go a bit downhill, unfortunately. I'm not saying it was a bad record, quite the contrary, but, you know, the Black Seminole always was on repeat when I was doing the review on this. I came back to this quite a bit, so definitely throwing this in the mix here for, you know, my top 20 tracks of the year. Highly recommend you go and check it out. If you enjoy Pink Floyd and you haven't heard this song by Lil Yachty, trust me, give it a play, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, because yeah, it really goes hard. You know, 1137 really caught me off guard this year when they dropped two albums, and you know, the very first one that they dropped earlier this year was a very big step up in their game. Sounds of Acceptance was an incredible album, and it's a shame because, you know, it was such a great record, and it probably just narrowly missed out my top 10 albums of the year. But when it comes to their tunes, I can't deny that the Soul song is just reckoning. It is amazing. Everything just comes together here, and you know, I can see that 1137 are starting to learn a bit more in their craft. And it's been interesting because, you know, 1137, they reached out to me originally to do a review on their music and get some feedback and see how they were going. And there's a lot of growing pains that they've gone from when I reviewed their stuff way back in the day on Jive Highs to where they are now. You know, there's lots of stuff that they have tried, and it's interesting to see because, you know, this record tempts into lo-fi but electronica, and it really does work. And their newer stuff is a bit more on to the hip-hop field, but they also have a new record out. I think they've done actually three records. Sorry, they have. I just remembered. But Soul is just this one tune that I remember. We did an interview together, and it was a bit unfortunate because the recording didn't work properly. That's why it didn't come out. I did a follow-up a little bit later, and you can check that out. But at the time of the interview, we were talking afterwards, and of course the band members were very excited for their upcoming project, and they gave me the early demo for Soul, and I remember just listening to it thinking, oh my god, this is amazing. Wow. This track, however, it blew my mind because it just far exceeded anything I had in regards to the band. Those distorted bass lines are thick and juicy and beautiful. The vocals, it feels like Halo, damn it. I feel like I'm playing Halo when I'm listening to those vocal parts. You know, I'm just expecting the da-da-da-da by Halo just to kick in any moment now. And it is this really great tune. Highly recommend you go over to 1137, their YouTube channel, hopefully it will be in the link if I remember, and go and listen to their music, because, you know, they're only on YouTube at the moment. They are starting to do some transition onto other platforms such as, you know, Apple Music and Spotify, so you definitely can check them out there for their newer material. However, this album, it is on YouTube. Also, watch out for the guest vocalist, because they sampled my voice and put it on the record. I'm not going to tell you which track, you have to find it for yourselves. So go forth, listen to 1137, and really get an idea of, you know, how this record is, because it's really worth your while. Of course the Foo Fighters were going to make the list. Hell, their album made the list for the top 10 records of the year 2023. It was one of the best comeback albums of any band I've heard in way too long. And you know what? The Teacher is the song that broke me, simply put. It's the reason why I got the title for that review. You know, when I was listening to this track, the first time I played it, it literally brought me down, it broke me down and brought me to tears almost, because it's such a powerful song. You know, Dave Grohl is in this area where he is very vulnerable. He is, you know, experiencing some death all around him, and he's just in a really shitty area. But instead of, you know, regressing and doing his own thing like that, he decides to turn to his output of music. And oftentimes, that's what happens with musicians. You know, they can turn their grief into some of the rawest emotions put forward into music. I always say, look at Under the Bridge with Red Hot Chili Peppers for an example. The Teacher is no different. And I incorrectly pointed out in my review that this song was dedicated, I think, to, you know, Taylor Hawkins, who had passed, but this was not true. It's actually to his mother, who was a teacher, you know, this 10-minute song. And I'm guessing because of the lyrics, you know, you're knocking at my door. and who's this knocking at my door and blah blah blah, and the screams are just so haunting, you know. And I think it's a perfect reflection of, you know, him when the news broke. And I guess we are in Dave's shoes, or at least standing over his shoulder as this happens, and just the 10 minutes of the ordeal, we are in this harrowing situation, and I love it. I mean, there are so many great tracks from that record, of course, but I had to pick only one, you know, and at the end of the day, to me, The Teacher was the standout track. It's so daunting, it's so amazing, and I think it's a perfect reflection upon, you know, his mother, who... Yeah, you know, it's such just an amazing track. I think it's a perfect dedication to the memory of his mother. So, very awesome song. Throw it in the mix. Not the happiest song, unfortunately, but hey, you know what? If you want to get that going, that's certainly one way to do it. Talk about unexpected treasures of the year, then T-Pain has to be top of that list, because seriously, I did not expect T-Pain to come out and do a track that I thought was amazing, yet here I am talking about a song of his making my list. I mean, I'm not even the biggest T-Pain fan, I don't like his music, and then of course he does this, he does this whole album on top of the covers, a whole bunch of cover tracks, and I'm thinking nothing of it. Okay, yeah, there's some covers here, and it's a little bit different to what I'm expecting to hear out of T-Pain. But then, there is War Pigs on that list. And I'm thinking to myself, really, T-Pain? You want to do War Pigs? This is going to be terrible, surely. Surely it's going to be horrendous. I mean, why would you, as, you know, this auto-tuned rapper, choose War Pigs? One of the metal's finest anthems, I guess, at the end of the day. Why would you choose this song? Yeah, you want to honor it? Okay, that's fine. Please don't do it in that auto-tuned style. I am blown away. I am absolutely surprised, and I think a lot of people will be doing lists and adding this one to it, because he killed it. He absolutely destroyed this cover. Fantastic, one of the best ones. Dare I say, it's even better than Faith No More's version. Yeah, it might be. I mean, Mike Patton is an amazing vocalist, however, T-Pain just brings that energy in this version, and it's like a live version as well. I'm fairly certain, I can't confirm, but I'm fairly certain this is a live version, and it is just on point. The entire track runtime is just amazing to be playing it from, you know, start to finish. It is the full song, it's no half-assing it here. His vocals are on point here, and of course there's also the keyboard sections, which I didn't even know needed to be added to it. However, they're also just up there, and it really adds to the elements inside this song. I think the way that they covered this, it did, you know, it did certain honors to the track while adding their flair to it, because, you know, it's not done exactly to a heavy metal style, of course. T-Pain's not going to do a heavy metal song, but there's a little bit of, you know, various other features within there, R&B kind of elements, almost like a 70s psychedelic mix to that piano, and it all comes together for this fantastic blend. And it brings a smile to my face, because, I mean, that album cover as well, wow. Great choice of an album cover, but still, you know, it's like the track that shouldn't be good is good, and not only is it good, it's better than possibly any other version I've heard of any other artist. So, yeah, congratulations, T-Pain. You've made the list, and for good reason, too. There is just something so right from those opening riffs from Baroness on their track Last Words off the album Stone that came out earlier this year. This is the album, and particularly the song, that really turned me into a Baroness fan. I mean, I had heard a few of their tracks from here and there, particularly on the Red album, but, you know, this one in particular, ooh, wow. I felt really excited to hear what the band had on offer, you know, especially from what the Green Man had told me on our show earlier this year. He said, you really got to check out Baroness, and they got a new album coming out. So I did. I made sure to go out and listen to Last Word, and I'm like, oh my god, this is so awesome. I can't wait for the record to come out. And of course, you know, if you've watched the records for top 10 albums of the year 2023, you'll know that Baroness made the slot. You know that Stone made it up in there. And it is for good reason. They did wonderful work on that record, and they really smashed this one for 6 on Last Word, because damn, there's just something so epically catchy regarding these riffs just pumping out over the top, and then that guitar solo going into it, and the way those vocal melodies just kind of churn into it is all just seamlessly put together, but so well crafted as well. It's a spicy track, and as well, it makes the slot for top 20 tracks of the year 2023, and for good reason. Make sure to play this one loud and proud, because, ooh, it's a good song. Talking about tracks that caught me off guard, well, what about Stained for you? I mean, when I heard that they were reuniting, I thought, yep, cool, that's not bad. You know, you're going to play some live gigs here and there, and it's going to be fine. And then I heard the news, you know, they're going to release a new album, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, that could be interesting. I mean, I like Stained, I like their music, but I don't have high expectations. You know, to be honest, their music has kind of been hit and miss, in particular more recent albums. And while a lot of hate gets thrown their way for like 14 Shades of Grey, I love that album, I really do. But when the album was announced, I'm thinking, yeah, okay, this will be alright, I'm guessing. I wasn't expecting too much. And then when the album did drop, wow, these singles off it were hot, like absolutely amazing bangers. And I was thinking to myself, oh my god, this is actually going to be something. This is going to be a good record. And it did. It was a incredible effort by the band. I don't know, words can't really describe the amount of amazement that this album blew me away by, especially because, you know, Aaron Lewis made the list last year for worst records of the year with his solo effort, Afraid at Both Ends, and then along comes this album, again, flawless. It's so cool, and Lowest in Me is one of those tracks that just really caught my attention, and I'm like, yep. This kind of reminds me back of the days, you know, when you're just listening to that, whatever it is, old grunge, post-rock, whatever you want to call that shit. And I'm like, this is what I want to hear. Nothing, you know, modern, not that modern setting, not updating your sound like some of your contemporaries are. You guys are just playing the music that you are known for. And it's great to just hear them play it into their strengths. And you know what? Aaron Lewis probably doesn't have the best vocals, but I think that he does quite well on here. I don't know how much editing it is, but I think his vocals, in particular, like some of the screams, which I know were also backup vocals as well, but are, well, very guttural, unexpected, I guess, really reminiscent of a lot of the earlier days, I guess, of Stained. And I love the album, and I love this track. It's heavy riffage and amazing from start to finish. So play it loud as well, man. This is a great tune to just throw into your mix there. What can I say? I am a sucker for Queens of the Stone Age. I just love that swag that Josh Homme does bring to every tune that he plays out. In particular, Straight Jacket Fitting, because I love long tracks. I absolutely adore long tracks. I don't know why. I see these tracks sometimes and I'm like, ooh, this one's 10 minutes long. Let's go play that. Yep. You know, Foo Fighters, The Teacher. But, you know, when it came to this album, and I mean, I was massively looking forward to it. And, you know, I knew it was going to be good. I knew that Emotional Sickness, great track. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, can it get much better than this? Yeah. It does, and we're talking about the extremely long track that is, of course, Straitjacket Fitting, like nearly 9 minutes in length or whatever it is, and there's this slow kind of waltz. It's almost a jam in pieces, but the band is just really on point when they're doing this whole mix of music, and I think this is like Queens of the Stone Age all on point here. You know, you have these fantastic group of musicians on offer here, and Josh is just leading them all into the mix, into the foray of chaos, because it really does kind of feel like chaos is involved with this album. And, well, actually it feels like that with most Queens of songs. But, you know, in regards to this one, it kind of just feels like chaos mixed into a bit of organization and just let it slide with this long drawn out guitar riffs, you know, doom 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 doom, and it just kind of slides and ebbs and flows, and perfectly done so as well by the group. They know when to let a song breathe, and I think it is perfectly personified on this track. So recommend, you know, while Emotional Sickness is a fantastic song that you probably would add to your list, I recommend you go back to Straight Jacket Fitting, play it again, because you're probably missing that track. It is the last song as well from the record, I think, and, you know, maybe you overlooked it because you're playing it from start to finish. Go back to Straight Jacket Fitting, give it a play like it is doing so now, and, you know, you'll be pleasantly surprised. I mean, I love this track, so go out and listen to it. Do it for me. You know, reflecting over my list at this point, it's a bit surprising to see just how many artists have really surprised me this year. I mean, earlier we had Lil Yachty, T-Pain, and Stained, and now we have Prong, a band that I just thought I would never hear from ever again, to be honest. They were a bit obscure back in the day, or at least in my perspective they were. And now, here is their newest album, one that really blew me away. I thought it was a fantastic effort by the group, and it made me appreciate the band a little bit more. And The Descent is just pure aggression. I love it. It's just in-your-face metal that is unapologetic and just, you know, takes you by the throat, throws you against the wall, and just whatever. It's all in-your-face kind of thing. Reminds me a bit like Slayer, bits of it like Hatebreed as well, and I just love this in-your-face attitude of what they're bringing it to you. And, well, The Descent is just that. It is such an awesome track that really deserves its slot on the top 20 tracks of the year. What can I say? I love heavy metal, and I love this song. I love this track. And Stephen Wilson, I mean, he is such an underappreciated musician. The guy's a legend in the prog rock circles. He really needs to be thrown up in the realms, you know, as this legendary status. He needs to be higher. And Impossible Tightrope shows what kind of musicianship, you know, Stephen Wilson can really do. You know, it's this weird mix of a little bit of experimentation within the track, and vastly different to, you know, his release a couple of years ago with The Future Bites, where I know he wanted to go down a bit of an electronic realm and try things out, and that to me didn't land. It just doesn't land at all. I know he wants to be different. He always wants to, you know, never be settled in one area, but unfortunately, no, that one just sucked. His newest album, however, just sees him just going, all right, we're just going to throw a whole bunch of stuff and see what sticks, and pretty much for most of the part, it does. In particular, of course, on the 10-minute epic that is Impossible Tightrope. And can you really blame me for liking it? Again, it's a long track. I love long tracks, so it's going to be one of my favorites here, but it is pure chaos at the beginning, and then it has that breather around about the halfway point with the nice little vocals before getting back into that chaos. And it really reminds me, I guess, of like a King Crimson song in particular on the second part, with, you know, horn sections going, keyboards up in there, and guitars all just mixed into it like a blender going crazy, going, and will it blend? Well, the answer is yes, it does. And what comes forth is this Impossible Tightrope trying to just, you know, casually sway over all these genres, but working all the same. It's a great effort by the musician, and one that you should definitely be throwing on there for, you know, your favorite prog rock albums of the year even. You know, what can I say? I do love Stephen Wilson, and the fact that this track only came a year out after the Porcupine Tree release, amazing stuff by the band. So yeah, definitely in my top 20 songs of 2023. Okay, If you saw my top 10 albums of the year, then maybe this was no surprise. But damn you, Gorillaz, for making another catchy track. I mean, Cracker Island. Woo! You are my crack. And I must inhale you. What can I say? Cracker Island just has this incredible bass line that is aided by Thundercat, who has this weird mix of what they've done in their past careers. But here you are, on display for the Gorillaz here, and adding your fantastic groove to the piece, and it really flows so well. I'm a sucker for amazing bass lines, and this is just no different. You know, the Gorillaz have really big bass hooks in a lot of their songs when you look back at the day, you know, Clint Eastwood, Feel Good Inc., all those ones. And here we are, and it's a no different. You know, I think the bass is a massive instrument when it comes to the band, and I think that they have chosen a really good musician to, you know, fill the shoes of those roles. So yeah, Cracker Island. It came out, actually, if I recall correctly, Cracker Island was released as a single shortly before I got to see them live, because they performed Cracker Island. I think it only came like out 2 or 3 weeks before I got to see them live. Then the Gorillaz are on stage, and then this song comes playing. I'm thinking to myself, oh, hell yeah, they're going to play Cracker Island. You know, and, oh, yeah. Filled my heart with joy just listening to that bass line. Again, make sure to add it to your list, because how can you not love this energetic piece? So uplifting, so amazing, such a great artist as always. Love the Gorillaz, and I love this song. Yeah, if we're going to talk about prog rock epics of the year, then we can't go past Crown Lands for their track Star Lifter Fearless Part 2. And this Canadian band is one to be reckoned with. I mean, their album earlier this year was simply flawless, and of course Fearless is one of the best albums of the year, I thought. But to put a 17 or 18 minute track right at the beginning of your record, that is a ballsy move to make. And of course, you know, it has that gaudy intro for a little bit, not too long. And that's what really is perfect about it. Because, you know, do the intro for a little bit, but then, bang, straight into the melody. And here we go. It's fantastic. Kicks right off. And it's just goes from there. It transcends boundaries. It goes to all kinds of realms that I didn't think really it would take me. You know, here I am looking at the track list going, oh, okay, 17-minute opener. This should be interesting. And wow, was I just blown away by the track. I mean, if you're a fan of Rush and you haven't heard Crown Lands, you're doing yourself a disservice by not listening to this track. Just listen to it. I mean, you have to go out and listen to it if you are a fan of Rush. They're just taking their cues from the band, and at the end of the day, they're paying homage to them, you know. When it comes to the transitions that are on offer here, they just feel flawless. I mean, no one section of the song overstays its welcome, and each of the transitions are just amazing. I mean, you know, it just easily progresses into the next part, and then into the next part. You know, there's the guitar section, there's the keyboard section, there's the build-up, and then we finally get to the vocal section, and all of it just doesn't feel forced. No one section is, you know, too long and overstays its welcome, and in the end, there is this 17 or so minute epic that just feels like it goes a little bit longer than it does, but for good reason. It just is a great track that I highly recommend you go and listen to. Again, if you're a Rush fan, you have to go and listen to this song, because damn, well-earned spot on the top 20 tracks of the year. I mean, how can you not love that riff, that doomy, gloomy riff? This is such a great tune by such a great band, and you have to go and listen to them. I just implore you to go and listen to Stone Jesus. They deserve much more love than they get, and a great album as well. This is the song that wasn't a single for the record, but you know, it was left off for good reason as well. I mean, we're talking about another long song, 12 minutes of doomy, gloomy, lovely riffs jugging along, and it just feels great. It does. Again, Stone Jesus, you just knocked it out of the park here. I love this track, start to finish. It just feels like a classic Stone Jesus tune. If you love your doom metal or your stoner metal, then you're gonna love Stone Jesus. And this track is just perfectly fitting into these genres. A fine and seamless effort by the band, and it just showcases the band's ability as well to write these epic tunes again. You know, they have done so several times in the past with many tracks such as I Am the Mountain, or take any song off their debut EP. Ah, damn, I just love it, and I can't wait to see what the band are going to do moving forward. I do hope that they make it out to Australia. I would love to see them, and fingers crossed that they do, you know, because this is a band that doesn't really have the option to tour right now. So go over to their Instagram, show them some love, because, you know, being in Ukraine can't be easy, and being a musician in Ukraine cannot be easy either. So yeah, play some Stone Jesus and show some love for this band. Okay, where were these tracks hiding the whole time? Seriously, Palms have done some incredible work in the past, but not a lot. I mean, they did this album years ago, and it was great. It was always great. I mean, Gina Marino does some great work outside of Deftones, and Team Sleep and Palms are just perfect examples. And while I feel that he missed the mark with the newest record, the Crosses one I'm talking about, you know, they did some decent stuff in the years prior leading up to it with their EPs and their record earlier. But at least this year, I can enjoy something of Gina Marino's, and that is the Palms track, the opening titles slash, I guess, end credits. These two hidden gems that were left off the original record from Palms. I feel that you got to make a special playlist because, you know, you got to stick these tracks onto the Palms record. I kind of feel like that's how it was intended to be listened to all those years ago and, for some reason, may have been left off. But, you know, you listen to the opening titles and then you listen to the rest of the album with the end credits finishing off the record. And both of these tracks are going to take up their own individual slot on the list. And yeah, I'm going to break my rule of, you know, one track by one artist here, but hey, this is my list and I can do what I want with it. So, two entries here for a fantastic way to just close out the Palms chapter, I suppose, because I guess I'm not expecting anything further from that band. But here's the hoping that they do, because they just showcased their atmospheric take on music here, and I just loved every minute of it. Go forth, listen to these songs right now. Yeah, you better believe that I'm going to throw this track in the mix. I mean, the Rolling Stones blew me out of the park, I guess, with this album. And, you know, there's a lot of people saying, oh, it's not classic Rolling Stones. It's more polished. It's more poppy sounding. The producer, of course, he is more inclined, I guess, to that kind of sound. And yeah, it just shows here. But I don't care. At the end of the day, it's the Rolling Stones, and you're going to need to shine up a diamond a little bit, even if it is a hackneyed one. But this tune in particular, you know, The Sweet Sounds of Heaven, which features Lady Gaga, I really believe that harkens back to that older Rolling Stones sound. You know, you got this longer song, this 7.5 minute kind of epic, and the way that they just play off each other. And, you know, there's a great live performance of the song out there, and it's kind of funny seeing Mick Jagger doing his thing against Lady Gaga there, but anyway, I digress. The tune itself, it really does remind me of that early, I guess, 70s sound, maybe really the late 60s stuff. Songs like Gimme Shelter or You Can't Always Get What You Want, you know, these tunes, it kind of reminds me of this one here by the Rolling Stones. And, of course, Hackney Diamonds, very decent entry. Blew me away in many aspects because I wasn't expecting it to be as good as I was expecting it, I suppose, at the end of the day. You know, especially with Sweet Sounds of Heaven and the way that that is the second last track. It's a fantastic way to close off the record, and then the, you know, final touch that is the Rolling Stone Blues, that little cover track, I think is amazing. But, you know, Sweet Sounds of Heaven, again, is just an epic tune by a band that has done it and done it for so long. This record that comes out of the blue almost after some, what is it, 15, 20 years since their last record. And here I am thinking, ah, yeah, it's just going to be a simple release. Nah, it did very well. And, you know, I think Sweet Sounds of Heaven has earned its slot in the top 20 songs for my favourite songs of the year. Oh yeah, I did say that Chris Stapleton makes me want to listen to country music, and I do mean it. At the end of the day, Chris Stapleton is an amazing singer and writer, fantastic guitarist as well, and I think it really showcases here on his song, of course, White Horse, this epic guitar tune, this epic country song, and it's just such a great tune in the end of the day that how could you not like drive to this off to the sunset? It's picturesque in its way that it's delivered in the guitars, and I love this song so much. It just builds up so well, the crescendo, the mix, everything about it. It's so good. I love this song, and Chris, keep pumping out tunes like that. I mean that. In the future, if you are going to do some more songs, follow this line, because you're going to make a fan out of me yet. And I mean that. Like, you are just going to make me a big fan of your music if you continue to write songs like this one here with White Horse. I got to do a shout out to the ending of this track as well, which has this, you know, awesome flowing guitar melody, and it's simply amazing. You gotta go and listen to this track right after this video. Seriously, go and check it out. Great tune. Add it to your playlist. You won't be let down. If there's one thing I love, it's gotta be the band Mammal. And I'm guessing a fair bit of my audience haven't heard of this band because, you know, you're mostly outside of Australia. But if you do know them, hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. Mammal is a band that absolutely blew me away. I saw them live, actually, by accident. They were performing as the opening act for a band that I went to go see, and they blew me away. I ended up purchasing their CD after the show and fell in love with them. These guys are just ruthless. It's kind of like, I don't know, Australia's version of Rage Against the Machine, dare I say. Their aggression, their energy on stage, their band that you have to go and watch. They are just simply an amazing act to go and catch live. So if you can, go and do so. But also, this new song, Keanu Reeves, is a killer tune. Just full of energy, full of spunk that the guys just know how to handle. And the video clip is so cool as well. I love just seeing Ezekiel Ox just dressed up in the mask and doing the chase down the scene. Even the lyrics, a bit nonsensical and funny in the end. But, you know, Keanu Reeves is a really good actor. It's almost cheesy in the delivery. But damn you, Ezekiel Ox, I love this tune. You keep it up, man. You and Mammal, I am keen to see what you guys are going to bring out. Fingers crossed for the album out next year, eh, guys? Drop a comment below if you're watching, Ezekiel. Love your stuff. I think it's fitting to close off this list with Blink-182 and their song One More Time from, of course, the album of the same name. Now, I never really expected Blink-182 to kind of reform, and to be honest, I was kind of expecting the worst when, of course, Mark's illness really progressed. However, he has come out on the other side, and the band have come in and just wanted to come back and do some music. And the album that comes out is just great. I mean, you can play any of the short songs on there and be blown away by it, because I love the short songs. Damn, you gotta go listen to those ones. They're full of that punk energy that is just really, really good. Captures that early Blink-182 spirit. But, you know, One More Time, that is the one that I guess a lot of people know of because you probably saw a bunch of TikTokers doing their reactions to it. And yeah, you can tell by the lyrics that it gets very real because, you know, like, I wish it wouldn't take a sickness to, you know, get us back together, or planes falling out of the sky. So, you know, callbacks to some near-death experiences by certain band members. And it really does kind of just ground you. This whole tune never goes into high energy territory, and I'm very thankful for that. They kept it very basic, you know, they're just playing this acoustic track and keeping it very mellow, as it should be done with the telling of this song. And I think it's just a really great song by the band. It's very opposite to what you would expect, I guess, except for probably Adam's song is the closest I can think of. You know, that one was a very dark tune. So, yeah, you know, One More Time is just this fantastic return to form tune. It takes the very opposite qualities of what we were expecting of Blink, but they got serious and damn it, did it work. did it ever. Love this tune. Something about this tune, it just, I don't know, grounds you with reality, if you will. Kind of makes you take a moment to step back from your life and just realize there are other things at play. There's a bigger picture. So everyone out there, you should take care. So that's a wrap. My favorite songs of the year. 20 tracks for you to go forth and listen. Hey, I want you to comment below and tell me, what are your thoughts in regards to the list? Is there something that I left off and maybe you want to add to this? Tell me your favorite tracks of the year. Comment below. I would love to read them. And of course, always try to respond to you as well in regards to your songs, because I find them very interesting. We're all music fans here. So comment and tell me your thoughts. As always, you have a great day, and especially have a great New Year's if you're watching this very early on. Otherwise, I'll see you in the New Year's. If you've enjoyed this content, make sure to smash that like button, subscribe to us, and stay notified for future music-related content, because it keeps our manager happy at the end of the day. We are also on Discord, Instagram, Facebook, and all those other social platforms if you want to check us out. As always, people, you have a great day, and stay spicy.